Good evening, and welcome to Khadija and the White Guy. I'm Keith Washburn, and this is...
Khadija Hardaway.
All right. Glad to have you. Thanks for tuning in tonight. And our guest tonight is Deputy Chief of Police Randy Hundley. Very happy to have him, and he's going to get his headphones strapped on here and so forth. And we're going to include you tonight, so get near your phone, because we are going to ask you to call in and express your opinion tonight. We're going to be talking a little bit about Ferguson. We're going to be talking a little bit about community relations with police. And the number is 816-931-5534. So we'll ask you to call in here in just a few minutes. First, we're just going to talk a little bit about what's happened recently. And we're having a little trouble with getting our equipment on and that type of thing right at the top of the show. We kind of get in here right after the last program, and one thing I want to talk about tonight, though, with the deputy chief, and he's already said just be informal. We'll call him Randy at times or deputy chief at times, but he's a 28-year veteran on the Kansas City, Missouri Police Force. That's a lot of years, so he's seen a lot of different things. He's probably experienced it on the street as an officer, and a lot of different ways in supervising other officers and so forth. So we're still having equipment issues, but the issue with Ferguson that we want to talk about tonight is it's not just an issue of race. It is perhaps an issue of race. It is also an issue of relationship to our police force. You know, what is it that we want to be aware of when we're out there in the community and we get pulled over by a police officer for whatever it might be, a traffic violation or whatever? We're going to talk a little bit about, you know, are certain races being profiled? Is that a possibility? And, we bring in the individual component of it, because no doubt you are dealing with human beings. People who are in those suits, that is a police officer uniform, they are human beings. So they are subject to the same emotions that every single one of us is. We expect them to be professional, of course, but when you are overtaken by fear in a certain situation, sometimes you go into what we would call the dinosaur brain or the lizard brain. It's a fight or flight instinct, and, you know, it's anybody's game at that point. So maybe that's what happened in Ferguson. We're not sure what happened. We're going to talk a little bit about it tonight. And just really happy to have Deputy Chief Randy Hundley with us. Khadija, any thoughts opening up here?
Well, I first of all just want to say I'm honored to be here with the Deputy Chief and grateful that he's our guest. And we're just going to try to put a spin on this, which relates to the community and, how the police department works with the community. And we've been talking a lot about Ferguson and a lot about the different issues. And we know that things have escalated, you know, with the things down there. And now that we have the new verdict, that happened with the guy that got choked and there was no indictment, there's a lot of issues, you know, surrounding race and race relations and the relationship police have with community.
Right. So you bring up the guy in New York or, also a serious incident. Go ahead, Khadija.
We have a caller, but we're going to let the caller hold for just a minute just so that we can get entwined into this conversation. So if the caller could just bear with us for a few minutes.
Yeah, thank you for that. So opening thoughts from Deputy Chief Randy Hundley. We don't want to make this all about Ferguson. We'd like to also just talk about what in Kansas City, what can people be aware of, and especially youth. You know, we don't want to see any of our youth waste their life by making a stand in an altercation or some kind of standoff with a police officer. It's just terrible when that happens. If one thing is for sure is that there is someone who is dead in this situation in Ferguson, and nobody likes that, I don't think.
Right. I just think it's really important for people to realize that communication goes both ways, and how people behave and interact with one another is very important. And everybody needs to keep their composure and act appropriately. And that goes for both sides, both law enforcement and citizens.
Yes. And one thing that a friend of mine said to me is, you know, when you, and we're assuming that he is the person who robbed the store of the cigars. Okay, at this point, I think most people assume that that is true. Maybe it's not absolutely 100% proven, but we're going to assume that's true. When you do something like that, you are putting yourself at risk. That's probably a statement that anyone can kind of get a hold of, you know. It's don't do that kind of stuff because you're putting yourself at risk when you do that. Maybe you shouldn't be shot for doing it, some people would say. However, you are starting, you know, into a risk situation if you're going to go out and commit a robbery like that. What are your thoughts about that, Randy?
Well, at the very least, you got to expect that stealing, either you're going to get away with it or you're not. And if you get caught, then the chances are you're going to be apprehended and you're going to be given a ticket to appear in court and possibly fine or potentially jail sentence. So,
or you can be shot by the store owner.
That's true also.
I mean, you know, they are loaded behind the stores.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, you could really be shot by the store owner. I mean, there's all kind of scenarios for felonies,
right,
which requires you to be in jail. But I think if we focus more on the fact that this young man lost his life, then I think that has more significance than, you know, committing small felony crimes, because that's why the law was in place, is so that if you commit a crime, you can be apprehended and brought to justice. But you have no opportunity for that if you're 6 feet under. And so we're going to go ahead and take the caller, and we're sorry to keep you holding. So please don't show that frustration when you start talking.
So thanks for calling in, and I hope you're on the air. Caller, are you with us?
Yes, hello.
Yeah, please, go ahead. Do you have a question for Deputy Chief Hundley?
Can we get your name first?
JP out in Shawnee, Kansas. I heard some comment about a lizard brain and about, you know, fight or flight or something like that. Jumping to New York here, I didn't see anything in that situation. That person in New York was certainly outnumbered by police. There was no reason to fight or flight, be fearful with the police. Nevertheless, the video clearly demonstrates excessive force that's shameful. And you know, that's I'd like to hear the response in terms of why was it necessary to kill that fellow. And I'm a white guy, by the way.
All right.
I'm disgusted by that. And also, let me finish. Also, you mentioned the robbery, the armed robbery of the convenience store. There were multiple reports coming out on that. Apparently, the chief of police in St. Louis indicated the responding officer did not know about that. Now that, so when he actually engaged with his gun in St. Louis, it's my understanding that the responding officer did not have any knowledge that he had just held up that C store. Now after the fact, they come out and say that, well, he knew that. So it seems to me very suspicious, and I'll wait and hear your response. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so
Caller,
much
can
for
you
calling
give,
it, in.
Give us your name again.
I think he's already gone.
Okay, thank you.
So let's ask Deputy Chief Hundley, you know, your thoughts on the gentleman he's talking about in the New York area.
Well, I think what happens is officers have different experiences, and some of us that are more experienced and seasoned will handle calls totally different than others. And so we will approach a scene and or whatever we're dispatched on, and some of us will attempt to communicate and take more time to try to resolve the matter, where some more officers are more hands-on. And from what I've seen from watching the video, the officers could have taken a little bit more time and tried to get compliance from the individuals before they went hands-on to find out exactly what was going on and try to resolve it through verbal speaking to one another and showing mutual respect versus going hands-on so quickly.
So in a word, diffuse.
Correct.
Diffuse the situation.
Escalating a problem, you try to de-escalate the problem.
Can I ask you if the Kansas City Police Department, now that all of these things have taken place and they are not light, good seeing and good light with the police department. Are you guys reviewing the way you do your procedures? And even though it's law, we know it's law, you know, we went over that in the last show about, you know, what you guys are required to do when you're using force. But because of the nature of people just losing their lives for simple petty crimes, you know, that escalate into this, are you guys reviewing procedures and trying to do things that will make relationships a little bit easier and when someone is pulled over or in a situation?
We're continuously looking at our procedures to improve upon them. But we have a set procedure. We don't feel that what has occurred affects our procedure where we need to change it. Our procedures is you know, we have a set way that we address people, and like I said earlier, try to use mutual respect and try to get compliance and volunteer assistance. If we have to go hands-on, you try to use the minimum force necessary to effect an arrest if that's what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. But the most obvious thing is to use the verbal compliance and try to get citizens to just agree and come along, and most will. You will have some knuckleheads that you have to deal with, mm-hmm. but depending on, most of them aren't going to escalate and start fighting the police. That's that 1% that happens. Most of 99% of issues involving police interactions is handled appropriately by both sides.
Yeah, well put. And I particularly like the part about, you know, minimum amount of force needed to handle the situation. So in a perfect world, that happens every time. And human beings, what I said at the top of the show, and by the way, thank you for calling in, caller. What I said at the top of the show was, you know, police are human beings too. Some days they're having a better day than other days. And as you said, it would have been nice in New York if the police would have taken a little more time, and perhaps a police officer who had a little more experience would have dealt with the situation differently.
What we also teach our officers is if you do see an officer, another officer, a peer officer, having a bad day or maybe not handling that situation as best as possible, you tap out or you buddy check him and say, hey, I got this. And then you remove him from the individual and then you handle it so that incident doesn't escalate.
Excellent.
Okay, I think we have a caller, but in the meantime, okay, it doesn't look like the call has come through. I just want to play a little bit of a devil's advocate. Oftentimes in our community, people don't come out and, you know, it's that don't snitch type of thing. And, you know, you're a witness, you don't want to see it. I mean, for instance, the little girl that got killed, the reward is growing, and it's almost natural that once that reward reaches a certain peak, someone's going to come forward.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the scenario where the community is so silent helps play a role in why the police is so frustrated, or some of them act in such a ways that cause such deadly results?
Well, the sad thing that happens is when you have incidents like have been occurring around the country, people don't say, hey, that was New York or that was Cleveland or that was Ferguson. People paint all police with that same paintbrush.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's unfair, but, you know, that's what we deal with, you know. And so, you know, we train and we train and we train so that our officers, when an incident occurs, you really shouldn't be thinking. You should be reacting, because your training should automatically kick in on how to deal with things. And like I said, we teach to de-escalate. You can't begin to solve a problem or a situation if both people are high energy going at it. You got to de-escalate so we can talk to one another, so we can resolve it on the lowest level possible and not allow it to get out of hand. And that's what we continuously train to do.
We have another caller on the line. Caller, if you could state your name before you ask your question. Thank you.
This is Brother Ron checking in.
All right. Good to have you tonight. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Brother Ron.
Hi. Listen, the problem that we're having here that has turned that moment into a movement is systemic, and it's in the system of the way we process a particular attitude and a feeling of impunity. that are shooting and killing without the fear of being punished. And it stems to a jury system, this grand jury, that if you read this, it was a whole lot of reading. But if you read what went on, the system, secretive and unfair, is not getting to the problem.
Right.
And while we have a president that is black and an AG that is black, I hope before they can leave the office that we deal with, okay, you heard y'all talking about some of the particulars from different instances earlier.
Brother Ron, I have to ask you because due to time, do you have a question that you would like to ask the deputy chief relating to what you are saying?
Well, okay, here's what I want to ask you. We're not looking forward to the cross-pollination of hate. We now have our kids running over there and getting trained by ISIS, explosives and different things. This thing might escalate. Are we preparing for this new internet world that recruits our young people to be trained by terrorists? That's my question.
Excellent question. Thanks for calling in, Brother Ron.
All right.
So I think to rephrase his question, I think the way I understand it is, you know, when something like this happens, and as you said, people, they don't paint it as Cleveland, New York. They paint it as it's the police, you know, and it's us against the police. And now that we have the internet, we got all these kids communicating on the internet. What's to keep the same thing that's happening in the terrorist world from happening to our young people, which is they get all amped up about this kind of stuff, and pretty soon we've got everybody out of control.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
We're going to let you answer the question, but I want you to keep in mind we have another caller.
Okay. I think that we have individuals. I have a son. We discuss those things. You know, he feels very passionate about what's going on across the country also. And so I think it's up to every parent, friend, uncle, whatever relative, have those crucial conversations with your family members and talk about it. And then if you see some extreme actions or reactions from your family member, then you might want to, you know, seek some additional assistance in trying to resolve that. So we're all passionate about, you know, what's going on, even myself. But there's a way we have to go about trying to resolve the issue versus becoming part of the problem.
All right. Thank you. Right.
Caller, if you could state your name before asking your question, please.
Well, you bet. My name is Dennis. I live in Kansas City, Missouri. I moved here in 81 from St. Louis, where I grew up. And my younger brother was a 20-year veteran of the St. Louis City Police Department. So I have some awareness of St. Louis. Anyway, my question is for your officer. Is he or she, I'm not sure, I think it's a woman, but I'm not sure.
It's Deputy Chief Randy Hundley.
Randy, okay. Are you aware that according to the New York City Police's own guidelines, that all of the police that were present at Eric Garner's murder were supposed to intervene to stop any excessive force? They are all liable criminally. Were you aware of that?
I'm not familiar with all of New York's policies and procedures. I can only tell you that if that were to happen here in Kansas City, Missouri, we would hope that some of our officers would step in and intervene and try to resolve that matter without all of those members being involved with that one individual. Someone's got to have the cooler head and prevail.
Well, they didn't, and it did happen here several years ago at an Osco where someone was put in a chokehold and killed. And it was an African-American at an Osco.
Yeah, I think that was 20-plus years ago, and that did happen here. And I don't remember all the details of that, but that was resolved. But, yeah, we did have an incident similar to that, but I don't think it involved a lot of officers.
And Oscar's gone now.
Well, thank you for your
thank you. It's CBS.
Question.
We appreciate you.
Yes, thanks for calling in.
Better days are coming.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yes, conversations like this should make it happen.
Yeah, one thing that I heard the Deputy Chief Hundley say, which is he has a son, and I would like all of us that are listening tonight, and everybody in this room, to think of this as this is a community issue. This is not a black-white issue. This is something that we all need to gather around and keep, you know, keep our heads straight about this and try to work towards solutions. And escalating the problem by, you know, needless violence towards other people, you know, just to act out, you know, and kind of blow off steam isn't going to help anybody. We need to talk about it around the table, just as Deputy Chief Hunley said.
But, you know, I agree with that. However, you have people that have been suppressed and been held back for a long time. And when the pressure cooker top busts, you know, there's chaos and confusion and the writing's all over the wall.
Yeah. Well,
I'm sorry.
And I think, you know, Chief Forte said it today at a luncheon. You can't wait till explosive incidents happen around the country to have these conversations.
Absolutely.
These conversations need to be had all the time. You know, either groups, community meetings, churches, families. You need to have these conversations. You need to talk to each other about, you know, any time that an incident happens, the best reaction is going to be when you're prepared so you know if this does happen, how will I respond? You know, then you got a plan. You've thought about it so that if something were to happen, you know, I tell people all the time, cooperate with the officer on the scene. If the officer does something inappropriate, we have ways of addressing that through our, you know, Office of Community Complaints. On the street is not the time to try to be the bootleg lawyer and try to prove that you have an ego or what have you. Be cooperative. Take down the names and what have you of the officers, the vehicle numbers and what have you, and then file your complaint, and then let's go through the process, you know, versus you trying to finish it there on the street.
Right. Do you mind if I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
Because I know as an African-American, you know, besides you being deputy chief police, did you think that we'd be living in 2014 with race riots and things going on all over the country? And how does that make you feel as a leader?
You know, I think every so many years you have some incidents that happen around the country, and we've just had so many that have just happened in a short period of time that it's really exposed some issues going on. I mean, really, it started with the NFL, with domestic violence, and then it blew up into these police shootings, where it's really sensitive time right now where people are like, hey, people are being treated wrong. And so we got to figure out what's going on and address the problem. Now, in the court system and everything, I don't have, that's not in my lane. I try to stay in my lane. My lane is law enforcement and the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department. So we try to do our part. But we do get painted with that brush when something happens across the country because people look at police as police, not individualizing it, even though I think pretty much people, Ferguson got put on the map, you know, and I almost think a lot of people knew Ferguson, Missouri existed until this incident.
When we talk about leadership and we look at Ron Johnson down in Ferguson and how he marched with the people, but chaos and confusion still erupt, I'm pretty sure as an African-American man that he's kind of torn about that. Do you ever lose sleep about anything like that, or do you fear what could happen in Kansas City and what your role as a leader would be?
Well, my role is developing relationships like I have with you and other members in the community so that I'm an advocate or someone that anyone can come to when issues arise. So they know, they at least know a friendly officer or someone that they're comfortable with so they can come to if they have a problem or what have you, and we can try to address it and work it out. So, you know, with Ron, same thing. You know, I grew up in a community down in the 12th Street and Paseo, 12th Street and Woodland area.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was a new officer, I could get people that knew me when disturbances erupted, I could get people to comply and say, hey, go home, let's mm-hmm. resolve this. So that's the same thing. Ron went back to a community in which he grew up in, so he was able to get people to work and work with him versus being destructive. But you're going to always have that few in the crowd. They came with a mindset. I want to tear up. This is the time to do something in this open city, you know.
Right.
I'm going to ask a difficult question. Sorry, we got to ask the tough ones too. But do you think, and you know, in your experience, 28 years, right? Mm-hmm. That's a long time. So surely you have been around some police officers that, and I'm going to use the phrase, although it's, you know, it's a little pejorative, trigger happy. So I'm not saying literally they're looking to go out and kill somebody. But there are some police officers who are bound to be a little more nervous, if you will. And how do you guys deal with, if you see that sort of thing, if you were to see that on your police force, a police officer who seemed to go to, you know, deadly force too quickly, or he was escalating quickly, how do you guys deal with that in order to keep that from reoccurring?
Before you answer, we have two callers on the line, so I know he asked a pretty meaty question, but we have 4 minutes.
We'll give him time to think about that one. Yeah, let's maybe put a caller on the line, and we'll come back to that. Do we have a caller on the line?
Yes.
Okay, what's your name, sir?
JP at Shawnee again.
Okay, JP, thanks for calling back in.
Yeah, thanks. Randy, I got a question for you.
Right.
Say, it seems to me kind of interesting, you know, Clyde Bundy, the rancher, the extremist, right-wing extremist out there in Nevada, when the police came in out there, they surrendered and the police ran away from the right-wings who were, you know, had guns. But whenever it comes to putting down peaceful protesters and minority people who are powerless and are no threat, then the police tend to be bullies, it seems, and use maximum force and to kill. But in Nevada, when you had Mr. Bundy out at the ranch and all of the right-wing extremists that were armed, the police run away like cowards. Cowards.
All right, well,
I want to hear your response to that.
Thanks for calling back in, and we got limited time. Thanks again.
Yeah, that situation, I think I was very familiar when it occurred, but it's been a while, and so I can't speak to that with any type of expertise in regards to that. On the police department, when we're facing a situation, though, we don't just run away. We try to resolve it as peaceful and calmly as we can, but we haven't faced that situation that you're describing.
Okay, well, let's go back, if you can, just briefly to, you know, if you see an officer who seems to be a little bit, you know, out of line, what would be the procedure?
I would rephrase it to saying that there are some officers that are more aggressive than others.
Okay.
Whether it's hands-on or other. And when we identify those officers, we try to get them additional training. Of course, you address the issues if they've had incidents where they've used more aggression than what we consider was necessary to complete that call for service. We try to get those officers extra training and whatever it is need to try to get them to come around and be a better full around officer. However, if that is persistent and that continues and training is not working, then it becomes a time where you start documenting those issues and then we may have to part ways.
Understood. Okay, do we have a caller, Mike?
No.
No, we had the phone ringing, but we're close to the end anyway, so we're going to have to wrap it up. Final thoughts, Khadija?
Well, I just want to say that I think it's a blessing to have you here with us and communicating with the public about what needs to be done as far as how we relate to one another. I think you're a very compassionate man, and I appreciate the work you do on the police force, and I hope that there is never an incident like the one in Ferguson here in Kansas City. Mm. However, I am a realist, and if the day comes that does happen, I just want you to know that me as a person individually will work with you as an individual to restore peace in whatever way that I can, because that's the way I live.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. It takes a certain amount of courage to let people fire questions at you like this. I'm on a call-in show, so thank you again, Deputy Chief Hunley. And I want to thank my co-host, Khadija, and our engineer, Mike Murphy. It's been a great discussion tonight. And I want to kind of leave us with this. I love what Deputy Chief Hunley said about de-escalating the situation. So all of us out there, whenever you're involved with the local police, try to de-escalate. This is Keith Washburn saying good night.
And I look good, too, baby.
90.1 FM, supported by Just Off Broadway Theater, presenting A Gathering of Traditions on December 5th and 6th. This is a holiday potluck celebration of diverse traditions and cultures from our community, hosted by Bill Claus, featuring storytelling, stage presentations, and performances by Amando Espinoza, Philip Blue Owl Hooser, KC International Music Ensemble, and many more. All proceeds donated to Redemptorist Social Services Center. That's December 5th and 6th, just off Broadway.org for more information.
90.1 FM presents the very first Mind the Gap Club Night, Saturday, December 20th from 10 p.m. on at the Mini Bar, 3810 Broadway, featuring DJ Bobby Bone, DJ Avant Garde, DJ the DJ, and myself, JZ, on the lineup. Tickets are $5 at the door. Join us for music, dance, and mayhem. More information at kkfi.org.
Do you wear your sunglasses after dark? Do you wear a cobra snake for a necktie? Then tune into The Pipeline Saturday night from 1 to 2 a.m. That's roots rock and roll, underground R&B, and much more, all nestled in the warm sands of the surf. So put on your blue suede shoes and shake it on The Pipeline Saturday night from 1 to 2 a.m. on 90.1 FM, KKFI.
This week on The Bioneers, revolution from the heart of nature.
With every cell of my body, I believe that the creative human potential of women and girls is the greatest untapped resource on Earth.
I'm Neil Harvey. Join us this week for Sisters in Spirit, Women Transforming the World, on The Bioneers, revolution from the heart of nature.
Friday morning at 9:30, right before Eclectics.
This is Beth Pike, co-host of Every Woman, inviting you to join us as we discuss Eleanor's Hope. The retirement challenges facing millions of American women simply can't be ignored. On average, women live longer than men, yet their lifetime earnings are generally lower. So join us Saturday at 3 p.m. on 90.1 KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to KKFI's exclusive coverage of the completely imaginary 104th Annual Lamplighters Holiday Parade. I'm Rosie Devine, and I'm here with my co-host, Ralph Tomlinson.
Hello, Rosie. There's a lot of excitement in the air, and for good reason. The parade always delivers the unexpected.
It sure does, Ralph. Why don't you tell the folks about the history of the parade?
Sure. Well, before streetlights were powered by electricity, they were powered by natural gas. So there had to be lamplighters to light the streetlights every night. Traditionally, since they worked right around twilight, the lamplighters would hit the bars after work. About 104 years ago, one such lamplighter, Sven Gudensen, got extremely drunk, fell, and hit his head. And as he was coming to, he had a vision of a holiday parade for Kansas City. The first parade was made up of three horse-drawn floats, populated entirely with drunken lamplighters, Hans Brueger's Oompa Band, and for some unknown reason, a mime. But the parade has grown over the years. Through world wars, depressions, good times and bad, the Kansas City Lamplighters Holiday Parade has been held every year. And tonight is the 104th annual parade. The parade starts at Union Station and ends at the old Katz Drugstore at Westport and Main.
Well, the parade has finally reached us here at 39th and Main. First up is our Grand Marshal, 112-year-young Hannibal Boone.
Hannibal has attended every Lamplighters Parade, all 104. She was just 8 years old at the first one.
She has led quite a life. We are near the end of the parade route, so she will join us shortly.
After Hannibal is TV cooking legend Inez Cocaruda. Her float is sponsored by Joe's Discount Cigarettes and Health Food Emporium. She appears to be throwing something to the children lined up on the street watching the parade.
Let's go to our street reporter, Mary Gerlt. Mary, what is Inez throwing to the kids? Is it candy canes?
No, Rosie, I can't quite tell, but it's definitely not candy canes.
Here you go, darling. Here, catch this. Here, kids. Enjoy. Here you go. Plenty for everyone.
Oh, I don't believe it. She's passing out cigarettes.
Cigarettes? What is she thinking?
Hard to say, but we can ask her in a bit when she and Hannibal Boone come to see us Anyway, while we're waiting, here comes one of my favorite floats, the Unitarian Universalist float. Always fun, always socially responsible.
That's right, Ralph. Always socially responsible, but not always social. I'm worried about that sign. We don't care whose birthday it is. Just give us presents. I don't think it will be appreciated by some participants.
Unfortunately, it looks like one of those participants is right behind the UU float. The Baptists don't look happy.
Are they ever happy? I mean, if you can't dance, how can you be happy? Just kidding. We love the Baptists. But it looks like they're planning something.
Oh, no. They're armed with Bibles. They're launching them at the Unitarians.
Repent, the end is near.
Theological questions abound. You know the old joke, don't you, Ralph? How do Unitarians start their prayers? To whom it may concern.
I hear the Unitarians returning River Fire.
It's free speech. We demand free speech.
This could get ugly. Oh, wait. The Unitarians just spotted the Midtown Coffee Bar oddly correct. They're pulling the float over to the curb.
Don't get between a Unitarian and a cup of coffee. That was close, Rosie. I'm glad the Baptists didn't see that atheist committee at the back of the float. We could have witnessed an all-night proselytizing session.
We dodged a bullet there, Ralph. We have a microphone down at the end of the parade route where Inez Cocaruta is about to finish up the parade. Let's see if we can get some audio.
Oh, God, I'm freezing in this float. Lanyard, hand your old Auntie Inez some more of those little marshmallows. Those strange little things. What? I can't hear you for all this wind blowing around. Whose idea is to set me on top of a metal cooking stove in this weather? Oh, God. What's that? Oh, I thought. As soon as I get off this float, I'm going to give Bert a piece of my mind, and that's the only piece he's going to get. Open another one of those packs of those funny little marshmallows. Oh, my nose is so cold. I bet I look like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. These are the funniest shaped marshmallows I've ever seen. They must taste pretty good. Even the adults are trying to catch them. I'm sorry, Lanyard, darling. I can't hear you. My eyes or ears are all getting stopped up and everything. What? Well, I try one, but I'm afraid they'll stick to my dentures. Oh, all right. Give me one of those. I'll try one. Oh, these marshmallows are terrible. They taste like an old cigarette. Lanyard, what do you mean they are cigarettes? You mean I've been throwing away good cigarettes to this crowd? Oh, how could that have happened? Oh, wait a minute. The parade's coming to end. We're slowing down, and so's the wind. Now, tell Auntie how she came to be throwing cigarettes to the crowd. That's it. I thought these contact lenses felt a little strange, so who has my lenses? The choral director of the Back to Nature Men's Choir. I don't get it. Oh, Lanyard, hurry up and help me off this float so I can get my contacts back. I've got to go to the reviewing stand and meet with that Hannibal Boone so we can be interviewed together. Someone thought, oh, Lanyard, I'm starting to slip. Help me, please. Oh, help. Oh, Lanyard, I think you just gave me my Christmas goose early. Oh, darling, what's wrong with your hand? Oh, Auntie, sorry. I didn't mean to bend your fingers back. You saved me. Oh, here, let me give you a little hug, you poor boy.
First, ew.
You know you saved Auntie Inez from a very bad fall. Now, come on, sugar. Let's get my contacts. I wonder why they call the Back to Nature Men's Choir. I don't understand.
Okay, I think that's enough audio of Inez for now. She'll be making her way back up here a little bit later.
But like she mentioned, next up is a float from the Back to Nature Men's Nudist Choir, serenading onlookers with their special rendition of familiar holiday tunes, a cappella, except for the castanets.
Castanets? Those are their teeth chattering.
Adds a festive touch, doesn't it?
And I think it must be an interdenominational float. Jews and Christians sharing a stage.
Oh, is that it? I thought perhaps some members just forgot their hoods.
Let's have a listen, shall we?
Seem very gentle, take no injured dismay.
Who's the cold?
Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day.
Rest indeed. From what I can see, the merry gentlemen are all tucked in for the night.
Well, Rosie, it is very cold outside. Shrinkage, it happens.
We now have Hannibal Boone, the Grand Marshal of the parade. Also, we have noted TV chef Inez Cocoruta.
Oh, good God, here comes that Hannibal's woman. Well, bad enough she was throwing cigarettes to the kiddies, but oh, her dress is cut so low, it looks like 10 pounds of potatoes in a 5-pound bag. Hi there, Miss Inez. What's cooking?
Oh, hello, darling. It's a pleasure to meet you. My, those are some interesting shoes. They must keep your feet warm.
They're called hunting boots. Right out of the Sears mail order catalog. They sell women's tops there, too.
I'm afraid I couldn't pull off the high collar look as well as you do. I think my audience, especially the men, would be upset if I didn't give them a little flicker every now and then. You know what I mean.
You call that a flicker? Looks more like a beacon on a lighthouse. Have a seat. This one looks like it'll hold you. I guess you're what they call today a full-figured gal.
Yes, well, yeah, I'll just move this here jug. At your age, it's probably some emergency medicine just in case the heart or mind goes.
That figures. You wouldn't know a moonshine jug if you saw one. Sorry, I don't have any tea and crumpets for the cooking with Inez star.
Now, you look here, you old... Did you say moonshine, darling?
Don't just stand there smiling. Sit yourself down and have a snort. I usually say it'll put hair on your chest, but it looks like there's no room for it to grow. Take it easy, gal. That's a faint water.
Oh. Oh, my. That really goes down. Now, that's what I call a real good drinky papu. You know, you really are a sweetheart, Hannibal.
Well, it looks like there's more than one crock holding the moonshine. Here, give me that. Wowee, now that is a good batch. I feel warmer than a coon hound by a campfire. Oh, here comes one of those commentators, and this stuff's just now starting to hit.
Up next is a float featuring the beautiful Russian skating star, Anna Vodafoksky. She is sitting atop a throne overlooking the scene featuring some animatronic skaters. We have Ron Dennis on the street. Ron, what can you tell us about Anna Vodafoksky?
Interesting tidbit about Anna. In 5 years on the tour, she has earned a total of $843.52 in prize money, but she has made $175 million in endorsements.
She is most famous for falling on her tushy 8 times in just 3 minutes during one routine.
Oh, but what a tushy it is.
She is a beauty, but not especially coordinated for an alleged professional athlete. Ron, you have the better view. Can you tell us what Anna is doing?
She's standing up now to wave to the crowd, and she falls on her adorable little tushy. She's trying to stand, but... Oh, she falls again.
Oh, my.
Still, what a beauty. Long blonde hair, large, beautiful blue eyes. She's wearing a sweater with a teddy bear on the front. Oh, the sweater's perhaps one size too small. Her ample breasts are pushing the sweater out, giving the teddy bear an almost three-dimensional quality on her long legs. Oh. Oh, so long, and... Oh, and her... Oh.
Ron, are you okay? Snap out of it, you perv!
What? Huh? Oh, where are... Sorry, where are we? What?
Up next is a float with Chip. He's singing his latest hit, Santa's Working for the NSA.
Yeah, I'm Chip. Yep, but that's about it.
Santa's gonna creep down your chimney. Santa's gonna do a resume. Santa's gonna be bugging you. Santa's working for the NSA while he's making those blues go away. NSA is gonna take your rights away now. After tonight, there'll be no question who's naughty or nice. Maybe next time you'll think twice about buying a pressure cooker. Cook those ham, cook those beans. Santa's gonna watch you by any means. Santa's working for the NSA while he's making those blues go away. The NSA's gonna take your rights away. Santa will be looking through your things. He'll be using that camera above your computer screen, taking photos while you sleep, playing devices so he won't miss a peep. Better if you wake up, you're dead meat. Better watch your kids' toys as they play. They might help track you one day. Santa's working for the NSA while he's making those blues go away. The NSA is gonna take your ass away. Another Christmas is coming, and Santa's at the pole again. The NSA is watching you. You better watch out or they'll come for you. Thank you. Whoa.
Our next float is kind of interesting.
Why is that, Ralph?
Well, you know how retailers are getting the Christmas stuff out earlier every year.
I know, it's getting ridiculous. Seems like the Christmas season starts right after the 4th of July.
Well, Amalgamated Industrial Food and Rubber is up the ante. They have a float promoting Christmas products for Christmas 2015.
What?
Yes, Rosie, it's official. Christmas 2015 has officially lapped Christmas 2014.
Unbelievable.
And check out these products for Christmas 2015. The all-new growing fruitcakes made from recycled materials from the Fukushima power plant. Christmas cookies made with quadruply genetically modified chestnuts. And finally, peppermint Christmas balls made with just a bit of recycled tires.
Peppermint balls made with recycled rubber? Does not sound good to me.
Oh, Rosie, you have to try these peppermint balls. They're so tasty.
Can't say I've enjoyed those particular balls. But speaking of balls, the Governor's Ball Float is up next.
The Governor's Ball Float is a new addition to this year's parade. And what an exciting float it is. The Governor's chosen a traditional patriotic theme with red bunting, white lights, and beautiful big blue balls.
Yes, that is the reddest bunting, the whitest lights, and the bluest balls I've ever seen. They really glisten. Magnificent presentation.
It does make one want to stand at attention, Governor. I salute you. Well, our next float is really going to create some controversy.
Why is that, Ralph?
Well, it's the float created and manned by an organization called Understanding Serial Killers of America.
Good Lord. The float is covered with people carrying various weapons, including knives, guns, and I even see one chainsaw.
Not just people, but actual certified serial killers.
This seems so wrong.
Well, maybe to most people, but we have an on-the-street reporter interviewing Sally Downing, who's president of the Understanding Serial Killers of America. Ron, are you there?
Yes, I'm here with Sally. You were saying that there are a lot of misconceptions about serial killers.
Absolutely. People confuse us with mass murderers.
Well, what is the difference?
Mass murderers kill a lot of people at once, but serial killers kill people one at a time. Most people think we are the same.
But isn't the bottom line that a lot of people are killed either way?
That is exactly the kind of attitude we are fighting against.
Okay. What else?
The amount of prejudice in this society is outrageous. Once one is labeled as a serial killer, that person is put in jail. I can't think of any other minority group that is discriminated like that.
Well, they did kill people. Right? Right? What do you say?
Dave, I think you're trying to upset me.
Hmm?
I would hate to have to get upset right now, uh-oh. Dave. I'm afraid you wouldn't like me that way.
Huh?
Dave? Dave?
Dave? Who the hell is Dave? And, oh, my God, your eyes.
Ralph, back to you. I'm out of here.
Come back here, you.
Don't worry, folks. I think Ron will be okay. He's a pretty fast runner.
Okay. We will be back to our live coverage of the 104th Annual Lamplighters Holiday Parade in just a bit. But right now, a word from one of our sponsors, Dr. Jerky.
Honey, I think you're going a little too fast. I know we want to get to Grandma's before nightfall, but... Oh, God, what was that?
I think I hit a deer. Are you all right?
Yes, but that was scary. Let's go check on that poor deer.
I'm afraid he's dead. What a shame.
Oh, yes, all that meat gone to waste. Why, there's enough to feed a family of four for almost a month.
Well, how many times has this happened to you? If you live in the Midwest, more than likely several times a year. Now there's a solution. Dr. Jerky's Meat Preservation Service. As our jingle says...
Driving the road, oops, a bump and a hitch. Now there's a body lying in the ditch. Be it deer, duck, bear, or beaver, don't get yourself in a fever. To this mess, we have a key. Just dial up Dr. Jerky.
Yes, let us turn that tragedy into a nutritious preserved meal, ready any time you want. All our meals are hand-jerked. No mechanical processing. Call Dr. Jerky, and we'll be there within the hour. Remember, no mechanical taste or processing. We jerk your meat by hand.
Be it deer, duck, bear, or beaver, don't get yourself in a fever. To this mess, we have a key. Just dial up Dr. Jerky.
That's 1-800-555-JERK. Now serving the Raymore Peculiar Area.
Let's go to our man on the street, Martin Tomlinson. Martin, where are you right now?
I'm standing in the middle of a herd of pygmy reindeer at 38th and Main. The reindeer seem to be clustering around the Unicorn Theater, some sort of symbiotic attraction. The reindeer herder's attempting to round them up. Oh, yes, he seems to have it under control, although a couple of them are, the deer are headed for the pizza place. I do not think that the herder saw them. The princess is on the Vegans for a Kinder World float behind the reindeer, is shouting obscenities at the herder. Her attendants are throwing vegetables at the children holding the sponsor's banner. The reindeer are provided by the Salmonella Brothers, Exotic Meats, and Petting Zoo. At last, a place where kids can play with their food. Uh-oh, the princess and her attendants are climbing down from the vegan float. They are headed for the reindeer. I think they're going to attempt to rescue the beast. Ew, high heels and reindeer droppings do not mix. We've got two attendants down, and they're crying and wiping their hands on their gowns. The princess has a broken heel, and she examines it. A rogue reindeer is heading right for... Ooh, a Christmas goose! Back to you, Ralph.
I'm up in the... reviewing stand with the legendary Hannibal Boone and the lovely Inez Cocaruta, star of Cooking with Inez, heard on this station every Friday around noon. So, ladies, what are your comments on this year's parade? You folks can't see this, but both ladies are smiling with glee. It's so windy up here, let me get a little closer to them for their take on the parade. Inez, Hannibal, which float impressed you most? Maybe if I get a little closer, we can... Whoa, I can see what the problem is now. Let's cut back to... Wait, I think Inez is about to make a comment. No? Both ladies are turning toward each other and grinning. Folks, I think they've been teasing us. They're up to something. Yes, Hannibal, Inez, you were about to say...
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Oh, I'm sorry, darling, but this stuff's giving me the hiccups.
Oh, don't you worry, your pretty little head. It always makes me...
Oh.
Just like a beaver on the porch
you have. You know, darling, I just love you.
Oh, you're a sweet thing yourself.
Here we go. Sure. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. It's just wonderful. It's just a Happy New Year.
That's wonderful, ladies. Let's cut to our report on the street. Rosie, are you there?
As we near the end of the parade, we see the Missouri Propane Association with their very creative float that features two large propane tanks painted to look like horses, and what's this? It appears the horses have riders. Sitting astride these two noble gas steeds are Miss Propane 2014 Della Cartwright and her runner-up Jolene Stevens as Miss Congassiality. All the association members are gathered around them singing that old rousing anthem of the National Propane Association, Sweet Lady Propane.
Wow, not only do they have the propane horses, but in front of the float is a large pyramid of propane tanks. We can see a large hose running from them, connected to, oh my, a giant barbecue grill.
Holy crap, that grill is the size of an Escalade. Where on earth did they find that? Look, they make the flames rise and fall to the rhythm of the music.
Now, that's really cooking with gas. Okay, here's the last float, and we can already tell this float is going to rock.
All right. This last but not least float of the 2014 Lamplighters Parade is a real blast from the past.
What is it? It looks like a bunch of fry guys with guitars.
Ha ha, no. These aren't fry guys. This is the 1980s Hair Band Hair Appreciation Club. This is a great local organization of people who have a passion for the oversized, over-hair-sprayed hairstyles of the famous 80 rockers.
Wow, is that Vince Neil from Motley Crue? And look, there's Jenny Lane from Warren next to him.
Well, actually, they're not the real singers, just locals who have dressed up like their favorite rock musicians. I admit, they are very realistic.
Yeah, and with really big hair. Man, check out the guy doing Dee Snider from Twisted Sister. They had to have taken two cans of Aquanet.
Same thing for the Jack Blades from Night Ranger Impersonator and the fake Kip Winger. I wouldn't be surprised if the speakers for their guitars are hidden in their hairdos somehow. I doubt they could get through a doorway with those fluffed-up hairstyles. The Dee Snider guy has got to have a 3-foot wingspan on that thing.
It sounds like they're doing a rocking rendition of Billy Squire's Christmas is a Time to Say I Love You.
And they're totally tearing it up. Some of these guys can really shred. Always great to see local talent to the tribute band realm.
Uh-oh. There seems to be some commotion upstream in this parade route. We can hear screaming and yelling, and what is that pounding sound? Oh, no, the reindeer from Exotic Meats and Petting Zoo Float appear to have been spooked by something, and they're stampeding. They're running this way. Holy Moses, they're trampling everything in their path. Watch your bits and pieces there, Back to Nature singers.
They're running towards the back of the parade route. Oh, no. Watch out for the flaming giant barbecue grill reindeer.
Uh-oh. Watch it. Whoa, the reindeer are hitting the propane float full force. Missouri Propane Association members are leaping off the float in every direction and running for the safety of the sideline. It's complete mayhem. The reindeer have consumed the propane float like a tidal wave, and they're trying to leap over the 7-foot flames of the giant grill. Oh, my God. Some of them are getting through the flames and have hit the grill full force, and it's falling. It's falling.
Mother of Pearl, the girl has crashed into the 80s hairband float. The flame is still on and full force. Oh, God, this is a hellacious scene. 7-foot flames are blowing across the final float sideways. The hairband rockers are trying to escape, but, oh, no, the hairspray-laden nest of hair are no match for the giant propane grill. Oh, dear. One by one, the flames are catching their hair on fire. Oh, the hours they must have put into that volume. There goes 25 years of style. The Jenny Lane guy looks like a firecracker running around, and poor Jack Blades is down to stubble. He looks like a hot Q-tip now. Oh, we'll know and help them. The Brett Michaels look-alike escaped the flames as he's desperately trying to extinguish Dee Snider's hair, which simply, ladies and gentlemen, will not stop burning.
He's grabbing at anything and to tamp out the flames. Oh, no, Brett, don't beat his head with the guitar. Oh, now D is up, hair still ablaze. He's grabbed the guitar and is giving Brett a few smacks with hair.
Meanwhile, the flames are around the remaining propane tanks. This will not end well. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, the propanity.
Well, that's our coverage of the parade.
Hope you enjoyed it. Happy holidays, everyone.
Hope you enjoyed our show. Our show tonight was written and or performed by Ron Dennis, Rosie Devine, Sally Downing, Emmy, happy birthday, Emmy, Mary Girlt, Mark Nagy, Evan Nagy, Martin Tomlinson, and Ralph Tomlinson. Join us for our next show on New Year's night. Now stay tuned for Local Showcase, and after that, our friend John Todd with Under the Radar. Season's greetings.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.